right, the Andy Finn Show is back, and we have moved from Cindy Sheehan into the role of Israel in the problems in the Middle East. And you're right, Mike. It isn't, I don't mean to be one-sided. I'm not putting this all on Israel. There's no question that the Arab country, if the Arab countries wanted to give the Palestinians a homeland, they could have solved this problem 25 years ago. They don't have to put them in the West Bank. Now, it's unrealistic, I think, to expect Jordan or Saudi Arabia or whoever to carve out a country for them. But it serves Arab governments to keep this problem alive. Right? Israel's got a democracy. And so they elect their leaders. Saudi Arabia doesn't. And so Saudi Arabia, the discontent in the country, they deal with it by, A, allowing the religious leaders in the mosques to do and say whatever they want. So they have two boogeymen. And one boogeyman is Israel and the unfairness to the Palestinians. And so they champion the Palestinian cause and they foment anger and hatred against Israel. And the other boogeyman is the United States and our role in it, and Western civilization in general, because we don't really, our values don't jibe with Islamic values. And so the price that the Saudi leaders pay to stay in office and to keep people from protesting about the Saudi government is to let them protest about other things. So it serves their interest to keep the Middle Eastern problems alive and have the Palestinians not have a homeland. So the Saudis haven't been interested. Most of these monarchies haven't been interested in seeing this problem solved. I mean, at some level, would they like a solution? Sure. But it's convenient for them to have these boogeymen out there. Now, it turns out we didn't mind for a long time. And we had a deal with the Saudis. They gave us all the oil we wanted. In fact, when somebody else tried to put the squeeze on us, whether it was Iraq or whoever, by cutting production in OPEC, Saudi Arabia not only resisted it, they would increase their production unilaterally to make sure oil prices stayed stable. So they've been a great friend to us in that regard. And we look the other way on the torture stuff. But then September 11th happened. And we realized that you can no longer allow Saudi Arabia to allow the imams in the mosque to foment anger against the West and against America and against Israel, because there are consequences to that. It's not just harmless letting off of steam. As we know, 15 of the 19 hijackers came from Saudi Arabia. They trained in Afghanistan, but we went after Afghanistan, we went after Iraq, who had nothing to do with it. And where are most of the terrorists besides Afghanistan?
Pakistan.
Pakistan, who's our ally, and Saudi Arabia, who are our allies.
Isn't that weird?
It is quite weird, but
I can't get over that.
But that's the way geopolitics works. Musharraf in Pakistan is willing to work with us, and so we're willing to see if he can tame the beasts that he's got in his country.
Well,
and the same with Saudi Arabia.
We're lucky that Musharraf wants to work with us, because he could say, because they got nukes. And we all know that the United States does not mess with countries that has nukes.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to get into the whole thing about Pakistan here, but you're on one level, I absolutely agree with you about that.
Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked.
No, no, it's fine. So, back to the Middle East. The problems are intractable at some level, and we underestimate how deep they are. You know, after Vietnam, we have trouble. There are people protesting just 30, 40 years afterwards that we can't make peace with Vietnam. Right? Now, we only had a 10-year war with them, and we lost 58,000 people. Right? And we didn't have any of our villages burned, and we didn't have any of our women raped and all of that. Right? It took place on their land. But resentments form and go deep. And in the Middle East, these things go back centuries. I mean, they still mark dates in the Muslim world of battles that were fought in the 14th century.
Mm-hmm.
Victories and losses. And so they have very long memories. And in the Intifada, when I say that three times as many Palestinians have been killed as Israelis, all those people have mothers and fathers and brothers and children. And they don't forget. And it's true on the Israeli side, too. Hearts harden. And it's just so much different when you fight the war on your land. So the U.S., we have almost no capacity to understand this because we haven't fought a war on our land in a long time. Look at the anger. We were attacked once. Now, admittedly, we lost 3,000 people. But in our memory, that is yours and my lifetime, we've been attacked once on our soil in a major way. And it's September 11th. It's a big attack, admittedly. We lost 3,000 people. But the outpouring of anger. We got to get the people that did this and retribution, and there'll be no place to hide and all of that. That's fine. But if we have that reaction after an attack that took place in the space of a few hours on one day, admittedly a huge major attack, imagine what it's like when you've got these sides warring across the border month after month, year after year, century after century. I mean, we can hardly fathom it.
You're not going to suppress that kind of rage quickly.
No. And so we go in, we plop down Israel in the middle of all this, carve out the country, and think that everybody will accept it. Well, they haven't. And so there's a negotiated solution somewhere, the same way there is in Northern Ireland, I think. But it's just not a simple proposition.
Well,
and so
it's not just the fact that they've been warring, though. It's a big part of it is religion as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, a lot of these Arab extremists, they want the whole world to be Arab, or you're an infidel and you should die, and your mother's a whore, and you pig-eating the son of a you-know-what. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yes, but let's not forget that the Crusades were fought, Europeans going to free the Middle East and reclaim it for Christianity, and then the Moors, when their empire peaked, they managed to get as far as Spain, essentially, and took over much of Europe. But so there's been an ebb and flow. And right now, we have the power. That is, the West has the power. The U.S. has the power. Israel has the power. Europe has power, meaning planes and boats and weapons at levels that the Muslim countries don't. Israel by itself fended off all the Arab countries combined in the Six-Day War, '67, '73, all of it. They kicked butt by themselves with American-made weapons mostly, but they're capable of defending themselves, and they've got us behind them. So from the Muslim point of view, war is out of the question. They cannot win a war, and they know that. So there's not going to be another all-out war. Now, the danger becomes when somebody gets nukes, which is what we're scared to death of course. Well, Israel already has nukes, and we look the other way. We hardly even count them among the countries that have nukes. What we don't want is for Iran to get a nuke. Because who knows what happens then? I don't mean they'd use it. I mean, then Saudi Arabia would say, you know, we're a powerful country. We should have nukes, or Iran might blackmail us. So it'd be a bad scene if we start getting a nuclear zone in the Middle East. But
I think we're already past the point of no return, though. I think it is, unfortunately, inevitable.
I don't know. The report that came out less than 2 weeks ago said that Iran is 10 years from a bomb.
Hmm.
That's a legitimate U.S. report. Now, some other estimates saying, no, it's lower than that. But it's not like they're 3 months away. It's not like North Korea, where they've already got a couple. Okay.
Yeah, well, let's say that is an accurate estimate. Well, what happens in 10 years when they have the nukes?
They don't necessarily. So let me switch topics here and give up on trying to solve the peace in the Middle East and move on to Iraq. I'm sorry, Iran, and what you do in Iran. I haven't addressed this issue in a while. So right now we're at a bit of a standstill. With John Bolton gone, Condi Rice was able to regain control of the State Department's non-proliferation unit, which he ran, and he was holding up the Europeans' attempt to negotiate with Iran. Now we gave the Europeans the green light and said, go ahead, France, Germany, and Britain, go ahead and see what you can work out with Iran. We don't think it'll work, but try it. And it turns out that what Iran wants most is normalized relationships with the U.S. Of course, we haven't been willing to have that since they took over our embassy and took our people hostage and embarrassed us and humiliated us in the 1979-1980 time frame. And so we backed Saddam Hussein in the Iran-Iraq war, even though he was the aggressor and he used chemical weapons. We still backed him because we couldn't make peace with Iran over this. What we need to do, I think, is go to direct negotiations with Iran and give them what they want. And what they want is normalized relationships, trade, recognition. Now, admittedly, the mullahs are still in power, but a democratic Iran will emerge eventually. There's an educated class, college-educated class in Iran. There's a young population in Iran that wants normalized relationships with the West, that wants trade, and frankly, that doesn't want an Islamic Republic, but wants to be a bit westernized. They want modern music, modern technology, all of it. Eventually, we will get a change of leadership. Now, Iran, the mullahs might be willing to give up making serious progress towards a bomb if we tightly control their use of their acquisition of nuclear power. Now, do they need nuclear power? No, they have plenty of oil. They don't need nuclear power, but they want nuclear power. And if they have the right kind from their point of view of technology, they will have the kind they can easily, I say easily, within a couple of years, weaponize, use the plutonium, reprocess the plutonium, and make it into bombs.
So do you think when Bush says there are no options, all the options are on the table, rather, as far as Iran, that's only encouraging them further to pursue the nuclear weapons program because they feel it's the only way that they can defend themselves against the U.S.?
Well, there's no question that if they had nukes, we'd have to take one option off the table, wouldn't he? Yeah. Wouldn't we? Bush made those comments. Do you know where he was when he made those comments?
I remember he was sitting down at a big table. It was a meeting.
He was in Jerusalem. He was in Israel. And so in many ways, this was a signal to the Israelis that he was willing to be tough. And frankly, some people interpreted it that he'd be willing to look the other way if Israel took out their nukes. Now, if you remember, Israel took out Saddam Hussein's nuclear reactor in 81, and there were no consequences. They set a couple of jets, bombed it. It was all a self-contained program, set him back 10 years. The problem is it's A, probably too late in Iran. B, that'd be a disaster right now. For us to bomb Iran, bomb, 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 Iran, bomb, 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 Iran. For us to bomb Iran would be a huge mistake, and I don't think we'll do it. And I don't think we'll give the Israelis the green light to do it. I think we can negotiate our way, not out of this, but we can delay them quite a while, and then there'll be a change of government. Now, you're right, it may be that they get the nuke. I don't think they'll use it. But once they get a new government in there and the mullahs are gone, we may be able to talk them out of it. Although, actually, the polls show that the youth that I'm talking about that want to modernize, they think they should have the bomb, too. So it's not like it's radicals that want the bomb. But there are people that believe that by negotiating directly with them and giving them normalized relations, we can negotiate with them and get verifiable agreements. And if we give them enough prestige, enough trade, enough of what they want, they will give us most of what we want. That doesn't mean that eventually they couldn't reprocess plutonium and then leave the nuclear nonproliferation agreement. That is the loophole in the nonproliferation agreement, is that Chinese can duck out at any time. And of course, the U.S. has ducked out of 5 treaties since Bush came to office, so it's not like people would say, you can't do that. But there aren't a lot of other good options. Refusing to negotiate with them and rattling the saber is not a policy. So I think North Korea will probably be easier to solve because eventually that country will collapse and Kim Jong-il will be gone. And the new government will give up nukes, I think, if we are willing to give them what they want. And we will be. We'll give them a lot of economic aid, a lot of trade, will help pull that country up, and the new leadership there would give up the bomb. In Iran, it's not clear that they would give up a bomb, even if they already had it, or that they'd give up progress towards a bomb. But with a little luck, there'll be a more reasonable government there in a few years. The point is, do what you can to delay it as long as you can and work on change from the inside. But our best bet to change that government is to give them trade and work with them. And the more they see of Western values, the less they're going to like of having the old religious leaders running the country.
You get more flies with honey than you do vinegar.
And bring on that Western music and that, that Western dance and that Western decadence, and we'll have them corrupted before you know it.
There we go.
We're at the end of another hour of the Andy Finn Show and another complete show. And so we'll be back next week at 7 p.m. on Thursday night with another edition of the Andy Finn Show. But for now, I am all done because I have finished. I mean, I solved the Middle East tonight, essentially. It was hard work, but in about an hour, I covered everything. And that's a good night's work, Mike. You got to admit.
It is.
So until next week, remember, do it, don't doubt it.